everybody. I'm Miguel Gonzalez, and this is Truth to Live By. We want to thank you for joining us, taking the opportunity to spend some time with us as we study the Word of God together. We pray that these programs have been a blessing and a benefit to you. We would encourage you to tune in every single week, and we would also encourage you to share our program with your friends and family so they may as well tune in and be blessed as we together study the Word of God. Well, during this program and the programs that will follow, unlike we have done in previous programs, we are going to actually start looking at some individual messages, individual topics, rather than looking at a series of messages belonging to a main title or series. Today we're going to spend time talking about abiding in the name of Jesus. And the passage that I want to look at first is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. That's the passage that I'm going to use, essentially, for lack of a better statement, the springboard for the message that we're going to be discussing today. But before we do that, let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you would use these next few minutes to minister to all of us, to speak to us loudly and clearly. Open the eyes and ears of our hearts so that we may grow and be conformed in the image of Christ, so that we may live lives that will bring you honor and glory, for it is in His name that we pray. Amen. Well, again, the passage that I want to use as a springboard, it's not the passage we're going to spend all our time discussing, but it's the passage I want to use as a springboard, is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. This is a passage that you are probably very familiar with. This is what Paul says: "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Well, this is one of those passages of Scripture that clearly do away with much of the gray area that we sometimes as Christians seem to think that exists. But notice what it says in this passage clearly. It tells us that whatever we do, whether we do it in word or whether we do it in deed, we are to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're going to spend time looking or discussing abiding in the name of Jesus. And there's four things, and usually when I preach a message and I give a listing of points that we're going to discuss, it's usually not an exhaustive list of points. There are certainly more things that can be added to this list, but these are four main principles or points that came to mind as this message was being put together. I am going to list four things that we find as individuals, as believers in the Lord Jesus, that we find as we abide in the name of Jesus. The first point I want to make is this: as we abide in the name of Jesus, we find, listen, our righteous standing before God. It is imperative that we understand that apart from the fact that we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, that is the only reason why we have a righteous standing before God. You know that when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your sin was imputed to Him. He paid the penalty for your sin, and His righteousness was imputed to you, was placed to your account, so that now you are standing before God righteous, clothed with the righteousness of Christ. The first passage I want to look at is found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Listen to what Luke says. Or in this case, Peter replies, but Luke wrote this down. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Listen to what Peter says. Peter says that if you're an individual who is abiding in the name of Christ, you're an individual who now finds yourself righteous, as a righteous individual standing before God, because of the simple fact that in the name of Christ you trusted Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And notice also that because of your repentance, and because of the fact that you demonstrated what you did in your heart outwardly through your baptism. Not that baptism saves you. Baptism is simply an outward expression of what has occurred in your heart already. But listen to what he says. Because you have repented and because you have trusted Jesus in the name of Jesus, you have been forgiven of your sins. Remember, sin was the only thing that kept you separated and alienated from God. When you were born spiritually dead. You were born, in fact, the scripture says that you were conceived in sin and you were in need of forgiveness. But in order for you to receive that forgiveness, you needed to repent. Now you have received forgiveness. And notice additionally, he says that as a result of you abiding in Christ, in the name of Christ, you have also received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means that God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, lives and abides in you forever, and he is the one that through his ministry in your life causes you to be conformed to the image of Christ. So make no mistake about it. Your righteous standing before God exists or is a reality because of the simple fact that you repented and you trusted Jesus, and as a result, he forgave you of your sins. You were born again spiritually, and you were adopted into the family of God. Another passage we can look at in regards to that particular point is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We'll look at that quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to what Peter says here. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Listen to what it says. Christ, the righteous one, died for you and me, the unrighteous ones, so that we might now be as righteous individuals standing before God. It is all because of Jesus. So as we abide in the name of Christ, as we abide in Jesus, we find that we now stand as righteous individuals, covered by the righteousness of Christ, covered by the blood of Jesus, as we stand before God. The second thing we find, the second point I want to make, as we abide in the name of Christ, is we find a prevailing argument in prayer. And the passage I want to look at here is John chapter 14. John chapter 14, again, this is a passage that many of you are acquainted with, and we'll look at verses 13 and 14, and listen to what it says here. And this is Jesus speaking, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Listen. When we abide in the name of Christ, we find a prevailing argument in prayer. Listen, praying in the name of Jesus is simply this. It is praying in accordance to the will of Christ for your life. It is not asking for whatever it is that you want, that you desire, that you covet. It is asking for Christ to cause his will to happen in your life. Listen, there's many people out there that when they pray to God, they demand of God the things that they themselves desire, even though they may either know or not be aware of, are things that are outside of the will of God. Listen, God is not obligated to answer the prayers of people who pray not in the name of Christ. God is not obligated to answer the prayers of individuals who refuse to pray for the will of Christ to take place or to become a reality in the life of people. Listen, when you abide in the name of Jesus, as you abide in the name of Christ, you will find a prevailing argument in prayer. Now, it is imperative to understand also that if you live a life of hypocrisy, that if you live a life of sin, that if you refuse to obey the will and the commandments of God, God will not answer prayer because you are already outside of His will. You must be living a life that brings honor and glory to God, and only then will you be able to pray in the name of Jesus, because as you pray in the name of Jesus, you're praying for the will of Christ in your life. Now, I don't want you to miss what Jesus says here. Listen to what He says. And I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. First of all, Jesus takes great pleasure in answering the prayer of the righteous. One, because He takes pleasure in bringing into the life of the believer that which brings completeness and satisfaction and purpose and meaning into the life of the individual. And secondly, because as He answers prayer, answering prayer causes the Son to bring glory to the Father. He takes great pleasure in answering prayer because it glorifies His Father. But listen to what He says in the second passage, in the second verse we read. You may ask Me for anything in My name, and I will do it. Again, this is not saying that you can come to God with arrogance and hypocrisy and sin in your life and expect God to provide you with a pink Winnebago just because that is what you want God to give you. He is under no obligation to answer any prayer other than the prayer that is prayed in the name of Jesus and in accordance with the will of Christ for your life. But listen, the point is this. As you abide in the name of Christ, as you abide in Jesus, you find, again, a righteous standing before God and a prevailing argument for prayer or in prayer. And that is that whatever you ask in the name of Christ, Christ will give you. The third point I want to make, remember, as you abide in the name of Jesus, or as you abide in Christ, we find an authority for service. I want to go here to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Acts 4, verse 10. Listen to what it says in this passage. Actually, I'm going to probably start reading in verse 9 to give it the context. That's where the sentence starts. Actually, let me start in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed," and here's verse 10, "then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." I don't want you to miss the point he's making. Remember, a miracle has just taken place. And Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin to give account or to answer for the miracle that just has just taken place. And they're being asked under what authority or what power they have performed this miracle. And Peter, again, remember that we said that as we find ourselves as righteous individuals standing before God, because of our repentance, we have not only received forgiveness, but received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So right here, Peter says, as he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he says that it is in the name of Jesus that this man has been healed. As we abide in the name of Christ, we find an authority for service. Listen, what we do as Christians should be that which is done by the power and by the authority of the name of Jesus. Ministry, and I'm not talking about those who are professional clergymen or in the ministry full-time. I'm talking about everybody who's a Christian, because all Christians are ministers and all Christians are called to minister. And this is what I want to say to you. If you are doing something for the cause of Christ, remember that it is not what you do ought to be that which is in accordance with the will of God. It is not your ministry. What you do is not about you. It's not about bringing yourself honor and glory and fame and reputation and even wealth. It is about Jesus. And anything that we do for the kingdom of God, we need to make sure that we do as humble servants of the gospel, because we have the power and authority given to us as we find it in the name of Christ. And remember, service is not optional. You were saved, and you are left in this earth as a Christian in order to serve God. And what an honor and privilege that is. Do you understand that God has given you the grand opportunity and the grand privilege of being able to go out into the world and do things in the name of Christ in order to bring Him glory and honor? And in the process, bring the lost to Christ, and in the process, edify the saints for service, and in the process, further the kingdom of God. What a privilege and honor it is that we can use the name of Christ as the source of power and authority to accomplish things that we could not do on our own, because we are finite, powerless beings. I can do things I would not be able to do otherwise because I have God living in me and because I have power as I draw that power and authority from the name of Christ as I do the works that He reveals for me to do in this world for His glory and for the good of mankind. So as you abide in the name of Christ, you will find a righteous standing before God, you will find a prevailing argument in prayer, and you will find an authority for service. When somebody asks you by what authority and in what power you do what you do for the kingdom of God, all you have to say, I do it in the name of Jesus. The fourth point I wanted to make, and the last point, again, it's not an exhaustive list, is that when you abide in Christ, when you abide in the name of Christ, we find an armor for conflict. We find an armor for conflict. And the passage I want to look at, again, a very popular passage many of you are familiar with, is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. And this is what Paul says. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The full armor of God. Listen, when you abide in the name of Jesus, as you abide in Christ, you will find an armor for conflict. You understand, as a Christian, that you are daily engaged in a spiritual warfare against the devil and his cohorts. Listen, there is a lot of activity going on behind the scenes, behind the things that our finite eyes, our physical eyes, get to see. And we know that there's a struggle in this world going on for the souls of people. And we know that Satan is bent on making sure that most people don't get to hear the real gospel of Jesus Christ, so that in turn they may die outside of a relationship with Christ and go to hell with Him for eternity. You remember that Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew that there's a broad way and a narrow gate, and that many, many, many more travel through that broad way that leads to destruction. That is the goal and purpose and mission of Satan, to populate that broad way and to keep people from entering the kingdom of God and entering heaven through that narrow gate. We are engaged daily in a spiritual warfare. And the only reason we're able to defeat the devil, and the only reason we're able to even stand in the midst of this warfare as soldiers of Christ, is because of the name of Jesus and because of the armor that He has supplied us for conflict. Now, we're not going to read the whole passage, but I want you to read all of Ephesians chapter 6. Or start even at verse 10 and read through verse 19 and understand what every piece of that armor is there for. But listen, the key here, remember, the key here is to abide in the name of Christ, because it's only when you abide in the name of Christ that you find a righteous standing before God because of the forgiveness that you have received for your sins, a prevailing argument in prayer, in that when you pray and you ask anything in the name and in accordance to the will of Christ, you will receive it, an authority for service, an empowerment, and an authority found only in the name of Christ that allows you to do the works that God has prepared for you to do, and do them in power and in a way in which you would not be able to do them otherwise, and an armor for conflict, an armor that only we find provided to us by Christ in order for us to successfully engage in this spiritual warfare in which we find ourselves. In closing, I want to look at one more passage, another very popular passage for most of you, Philippians chapter 3 and verses 5 through 11. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians chapter 3, let's see. Actually, I think I wrote down the wrong reference. Here, I'm actually looking at Philippians chapter 2, not 3. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God to be made, but made himself nothing. And when you go down to this passage, verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is God or Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, in the name of Jesus we find all the power that we need, but we must abide in the name of Jesus in order for us to be able to, by faith, appropriate those things that He has given us so that we may be able to defeat the devil. Father, we thank You for this time. May You use these words to minister to us so that we may live lives as individuals who abide in the name of Jesus. For it is in His name that we pray. Amen.
Well, folks, we have come to the end of this program. We want to thank you for joining us once again. We want to pray that you would continue to meet with us each week at this time on this radio station to continue studying God's Word together. We are so grateful to the Lord for the opportunity to be able to live in a country where we can still proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when we can do this to thousands of people across this nation through the airwaves. We want to remind you folks that this is a listener-supported ministry. We rely entirely and exclusively on the generosity of God's people. That is the only way in which we can continue to air these programs on these radio stations on which you all listen to us. We want to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially so that we may be able to not only continue airing the programs on the stations on which we are on now, but that we may be able to continue to grow and therefore reach many thousands more with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to provide you our contact information at the end of this program so that you can contact us. We want to also ask you to commit to pray for this ministry so that God's blessing may be upon it. After all, this is not our ministry, this is the Lord's ministry. So we pray that you would continue to ask the Lord to do great and mighty things through this ministry. Yeah, we would ask you to write to us as well. Let us know what God is doing in your life as a result of these programs. It would be a great source of encouragement for us. If you have any prayer requests, we would love for you to send those to us so that we can bring those to the throne of grace on your behalf. Also, if you want to order any CDs, any copies of any of the messages that you have heard, we would ask you to send us a letter. Let us know the date and the call letters on of the station on which you heard the program. That way we can send you the correct one out. We would ask that you would enclose a $5 gift to cover the cost of shipping and handling and materials and production. That way we can continue providing these resources to all who are in need or in want of any of these programs. Let me provide you with our contact information. If you're going to write to us, send your correspondence to Reasons for Faith International Ministries, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227-0279. If you want to send us any email, you can do so to Truth to Live By, all one word, at rffiministries.org. And we would ask you to also visit us online. You may gather a great deal of information about us and check out the resources that we have available there at www.rffiministries.org. Thank you, and may God bless you. We will see you next week.